When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. What a preseason for the New Jersey Devils. I really don't think you could ask for any more than they gave. No matter which configuration of players they sent, they came back with wins, and we're thrilled to see it. Obviously, the results mean nothing in the grand scheme of things, but it is still better to win than to lose. So, John Fisher, hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing victoriously. Ooh. As our favorite team not only prevailed in preseason, which again, as you said, who cares about the final score? That means nothing now. But at the very minimum, they put some doubts into almost all of their opponents. I would accept Montreal from that because they only played them in the first game.
Yeah, and so again, the point of the preseason is to, I think, first and foremost, get out healthy. And the Devils managed to successfully do that. No major injuries. But also to warm up to game speed. And the Devils, we're not going to go into the details of every single game because, again, it's preseason. The results don't really matter. But, man, the eye test, the stats, they look like the Devils of last year. It looks like there's some good chemistry forming on some new lines and some maybe surprise standout players from camp. And so just from the preseason games, one immediate impression I had, John, there's a power play now.
There was a power play. It ran it at a stupefying clip, almost as high as 40% at one point. The Devils, you know, and they've actually brought this up, Dan. The people, the decision makers, the people with the juice, so to speak, have said, well, we've got 1A and 1B units. We don't have a first and second unit, which is a far cry difference from last season when, you know, you had one strong unit and then you had a unit with Miles Wood on it. So, you know, the collection of talent has been impressive. And just as importantly, Dan, they've been converting.
Yeah, it's been very impressive to watch them whip the puck around. And not just during the power play, but also the goal against the Islanders in the first game comes to mind. The Globetrotters-esque passing around the offensive zone by several, you know, veteran Devils and also some prospects. And so the whole, you know, secondary goal of camp, besides getting out healthy, everyone being at the very least somewhat productive, is to, let's say, trim the fat. And to do that, we have to see how they perform in these preseason games. And so we had a list here of players that are still with the team who are, you know, on the fringe. And so, John, I'm going to give you a name. You tell me if they've done enough to make the cut, if they've done enough to impress you, and also not just if they make the cut, but if they moved up the pecking order in terms of call-ups. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. So obviously not all of these players will be able to make the team for one reason or another. It could be a contract situation. It could be, you know, it could just be handedness. It could be a specific skill set. So let's start with the players that we don't, or I guess didn't really expect to see that much from or as much from, but are really making the coaches think a little bit extra about what to do next. And so let's start with, I think it's Santeri Hatakka.
The other player in the Timo Meier trade. That's a lie. There were like five players going back in that one.
Well, yes. I also want to add, like, the Devils with these bonus players and these big trades are making out like bandits. The Taylor Hall trade comes to mind too, but let's touch on that later when we talk about who stood out at camp. But yeah, start with that one.
Yeah, so Santeri Hatakka was somebody that I identified as a wild card because his situation was rough. Like, he got a taste of the NHL last season, two seasons ago with San Jose, like eight games. He did well with the Barracuda in the AHL. And then last season, he pretty much was out for almost the entire season with an injury. He has yet until this past 2 weeks, yet to wear a Devils uniform in a game. that's actually a bit of a stretch. He was in the prospect challenge. The point was is that he has yet to appear in an official game for the Devils or the Comets at a regular season or playoff level. And he's in the final year of his ELC. He's 22 years old. So this is a very important camp for him. I don't think he did enough to make the roster just due to the number of people involved, but he did acquit himself quite well in his three preseason games. He was especially good in the last game against the New York Islanders, where the Islanders iced a full NHL team and the Devils, well, did not. They played the B team of mostly depth players, fringe guys.
I mean, Dawson Mercer was their best roster player.
Dawson Mercer, Akira Schmid, Kevin Ball. Those are your veterans.
They look like it out there. They look like the best players on the ice on both teams.
Yeah, but Hataka did not look anything like an AHL player out there. He was very solid. He created some good plays. I believe it was his shot that led to the first goal by Max Willman, a redirection in past Ilya Sorokin. So Hataka definitely had a very good lasting impression. But I think at this point, he's going to be one of the first few call-ups from the defense.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me. I mean, again, it's someone you didn't expect to be. He was more of a throwaway in the trade initially. So any bonus you get from that besides just getting Timo Meier is huge. So
certainly
very good to see him succeeding. And a Devils prospect that we, you know, I think it's more the circumstances that are log jamming him, but Simon Nemec.
Yeah. So Simon Nemec, the best way I would describe him was similar to Luke Hughes. On the puck, great. Like he looks like, you know, this is the high-end prospect that you expect. He's got the skills on the puck. He's got the confidence to beat players one-on-one. And more importantly, Dan, he has the skill set to beat players one-on-one.
A nice breakaway goal against the Islanders.
Exactly. He picked up on a shorthanded situation, which really should have been a penalty on Tyce Thompson. The broadcast was very adamant that that should have been tripping. And I actually agree, it should have been tripping. But I ain't hear no whistle. Nemec took it in, beat up Sorokin for the score. That's always a good thing. I think the big concern with Nemec is going to be off the puck play. That's definitely still a work in progress. His 5-on-5 numbers were pretty rough at times. Some of that could be attributed to who he was playing with, but for the most part, I could see the argument where some more games in Utica may be to his benefit. It's going to be a judgment call at this point based on the performance of some other veteran defensemen, but I don't see the Devils carrying 9 defensemen. So I think he is going to start the season in Utica. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong though.
Well, fair enough. And also he does have the 1 year left on the entry level contract that can slide.
Yeah.
So that's a big consideration to make here too. So it makes sense both from a hockey perspective and from a contracts perspective for him to be there. So I think the writing had been on the wall for a while, but it's interesting that the play pretty much agreed, and I don't think a season of seasoning will hurt him.
I don't think it's going to take a season, Dan. I think Nemec is going to be a Devil sooner rather than later. Let me just say that. I don't want to commit and say, oh, he's definitely going to be a New Jersey Devil by the trade deadline. Like, no, I think it's going to be a case of he's going to get a couple games. He's going to be the first call up. And if he does well enough, Dan, they're going to find a way to keep him.
Okay.
Biggest well.
Works for me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to another prospect that is basically on his last opportunity and seems to have made the most of it. Alex Holtz.
Yeah. So here's another player where, again, sometimes he was a victim of who he's played with. I think it's pretty clear Alex Holtz is not yet, and maybe never will be, a play driver. Like, he's not somebody who can say, I'm on this line, I'm going to make it go forward all the time. And this was most apparent in the last game where he got shifts with Michael McLeod and Nathan Bastian, which,
yeah
that's just not going to work. McLeod is not an offensive player. Any notion that McLeod is anything more than a fourth liner should have been defeated in this preseason. He did okay at times, but that's neither here nor there. That being said, you put Holtz on an offensive line or put him in offensive situations and you see the shot, you see the effort, you see the movement off the puck to put himself into positions where he can be an option, which is what you want to see from an offensive player. Maybe more importantly than that, Dan, is that Holtz was very notable in back checking and helping out on defense, not taking silly penalties. Those were things that he was criticized for with some validity, maybe mostly validity, I should say, from Lindy Ruff and his staff last season. So
Well, that's the thing about
I'd like,
getting faster too, right? Like you don't have to
yeah.
take as many penalties to keep up with people.
Well, it's both those things, Dan. It's not just the speed, it's also how you think the game. Like a guy like Mark Stone, and I know that's an extreme example because he's one of the better all-around players in the entire world, but he's not a great skater, Dan. He's not fast, but he doesn't need to be because he knows exactly where he needs to be almost at all times. So he
I mean,
doesn't need to.
it's not like Jagr was the best skater ever, too, but he just used his body so well that it was almost impossible to get the puck
He
off him.
and he knew where he needed to get to help out. That's the important thing. So obviously Holtz is not going to be like Mark Stone or Jaromir Jagr, short of the greatest glow up since Blake Coleman. But the point, I think the larger point of this question is, do you think he's on this team? I do. I do think it's going to be a question of where do you slot him? Because again, the tricky part about guys that you say, well, if he does well with Nico Hischier and Timo Meier, then he's great. That it's like, yeah, but that opportunity could go to someone else. And do you may need that flexibility for Holtz. So the big question is real for me is going to be, can Holtz do well if he plays with a Hala, with a Palat, opposite Mercer? Can he mesh well with those other players? And I think that's part of the reason why he got as many games as he did with so many different combinations. It wasn't like Tyler Toffoli, where he was attached to Jack Hughes and Jesper Bratt for the preseason.
It's good that he seems to have taken the notes from last year in stride, like you said. He came back faster. He came back more focused on defense. He came back understanding, I think, more how the Devils play, and that's due to his time in Utica, I think.
Yeah. I
The
will
system
say,
that's worked there as well.
I will add one other fun, now pointless fact because preseason's over. He led the Devils forwards in average ice time in 5-on-5 play with
Well.
15 minutes. And like no other forward, like the other forward that came closest to Holtz is Timo Meier at 13:44. So what that means is that the Devils coaches gave Holtz a lot of opportunities, a lot of shifts. And again, some of the underlying numbers are ugly, but again, some of that's going to be attributed to who he's played with. But put the puck on a stick, he can shoot it real well. He has scored some goals, and just as importantly, he's helped out on defense. He has not been the reason why the Devils struggled at all in these games, I would say.
And weirdly enough, there's been less competition for the forwards than there has been for defense, I think, than we anticipated. So that benefits him at least a little bit. At least his role in the forwards, I would say.
Yeah, it's an internal competition, not a is he going to make the team or is he going to go to Utica? I don't think that. I think Holtz is beyond that, which is I think important for him.
Which is fantastic. And so. Let's move on to another player that you had mentioned in Tyce Thompson. He got a lot of looks, a lot of them in this preseason.
Yeah, he played in 5 games. Curtis Lazar played in every single preseason night. And Tyce Thompson joined the PTO, Max Willman, Thomas Noshek, Michael McLeod, and Kevin Ball as the only guys to have played in 5 out of the 6 preseason nights of the Devils. And I would say Tyce Thompson, I don't know what to make of him, Dan. I still don't. I think like this guy was playing fourth line minutes in Utica in the playoffs last season. This is not a guy who was, he's just scoring a whole bunch and playing big minutes for the Comets and he just needs an opportunity. Like, no, this guy was a fourth liner when he was called up to the Devils in his past cups of coffee, and he was a fourth liner in Utica. So I think they, if he's going to make it, Dan, it's going to be as a spare fourth liner, which isn't a bad thing necessarily. But I didn't really see a lot from him that made me go, yeah, this dude is definitely on the team. His underlying numbers look fantastic, to be honest with you. But how much of that was because of something he did, or more or less who he was playing with or playing against, is the factor for me. And Tyce also took some rather dumb penalties. Again, he should have been called for that tripping penalty that led to Nemec's goal. Like, I can kind of see it, but the Devils have a heap of guys who can play on the fourth line. So unless the Devils badly need a spare right winger behind Bastion, and if they don't trust Lazar to play on that side, I want to say he's left-handed, so they probably maybe they don't. But yeah, I can see why the Devils management might like him based on past call-ups. I personally just don't see him as somebody who did enough to make this team.
Well, it's been so hard to assess him because he seems so consistently injured as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah, he is just in a weird spot in terms of the pecking order. So
yeah, and contract wise, it's even harder, Dan, because he's 24 and he's been signed for 3 seasons. So his waiver exemption got removed, and you know, Mr. Thompson, you know, is on a, you know, his contract became one way. Not that it has anything to do with his waiver status, but it has everything to do with the fact of, well, if I'm paying this guy $775,000, do I want him to do that while riding the bus in Utica, or do I want him hanging out in the suites in New Jersey as an option?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a question for Tom Fitzgerald to decide on.
And, you know, when we talk about the veterans a bit later on, that's who he's competing with more than someone like Holtz, who would be, you know, more up the lineup. So just one last young player on my end here to mention, and that is the aforementioned Luke Hughes. Again, I think the season and the offseason, the way it was structured, was made with him in mind on the main roster. You don't let Severson and Graves walk if you don't think that he can replace at least one of them. So I think he's pretty safe, but I think, you know, like his brother, he's having a little bit of a slow start.
Yeah, the growing pains are definitely there. I mean, we saw last season in the last two regular season games and in those playoff games, I think the fact he got a 20 plus minute performance against Carolina is sign of, yeah, you're on the team. Like it's similar to Charlie McAvoy, where his first few games as a Bruin were in the playoffs, he played big minutes there, and it was pretty much apparent, like, yeah, you can't send him to Providence at this point. Like, you put him, you can't play him this much in the postseason and then go, yeah, you're a minor leaguer. Like, it doesn't work like that. So I agree that Luke Hughes is a devil. Now, my thoughts on his play is similar to Nemich's. On the puck, I like it. And I don't want Luke to change how he plays with the puck. Like, I don't want him to, you know, get the game coached out of him, so to speak. You see this with some players who are kind of marginal, because Luke definitely has the talent to be NHL talent one-on-one. He's done it in his few times in the NHL already.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a talent that is special for a player, regardless of their position. So I hope Lindy Ruff and Ryan McGill don't try to tell him to, like, don't do that. Don't try to take a player on. Don't look for extra space going forward, especially considering that Ruff, his system is predicated on defensemen being active on offense and being willing to go in deep. I mean, even in the final game against the Islanders, we saw Simon Nemich in the corners on offense. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how deep the activation can go. So Luke on the puck, I'm okay with. Luke off the puck needs some work. And you know, it's been a subject of discussion on the site and other forums online about, you know, how do you structure the defense? I think the best thing for Luke at this point would be to set him up similar to how the Devils utilized Severson last season, which is put him on the third pairing, let him have favorable matchups when you're at home, which is good for the Devils because the Devils play a lot of home games to start this season.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to most of their October. They only have two road games in October, Dan, and one of them is in Long Island and the other's in Montreal. These are places the Devils have already been to. Yeah, they also have a weird 7:15 start in Montreal. Don't ask me why it's 7:15. That's weird.
Maybe they're starting to actually stagger start times this year so we can watch multiple games.
On a Tuesday night, Dan?
Yeah, why not? Who cares?
Anyways, the point is that the Devils can shelter him for the first couple games until he gets up to speed. But I think the important thing is going to be, Luke, you need to be more mindful in your own end. You need to be more mindful of your partner. To be fair to Luke, some of his partners, like a certain veteran we're about to talk about, has had a bad preseason, and you can only do so much. But, you know, you can't play four games in preseason, end up with a Corsi of below 35% and not get some criticism. Like, it just doesn't work that way, my dude.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. But I think with what we saw with Jack also, it takes a little bit of time to get adjusted to the league when you play the way that they do. But, you know, we know that everything ended up fine in that department. So
yeah, over time, Luke will be fine. Like, the talent is there. This isn't going to be an Alexis Lafreniere situation where, you know, Ryan Novosinski isn't going to write an article, you know, 3 years from now going, look, Luke, you got to make this team. You got to relax. You got to be who you are. You're under a lot of pressure, but you got to make it, kid, but to have no pressure. I'm referring to a Larry Brooks article that was recently written about Mr. Lafreniere.
Wild.
Yeah, you love to see it, especially little lines like, based on how he's played, he shouldn't be making this team at all.
Oh
boy.
You
love to see it, Dan.
What
you
an
love
argument
to see it
for a first
anyway,
overall. Anywho, yeah.
Let's talk about some veterans.
You'll be okay. But yeah, let's talk about that veteran that you alluded to just now, Colin Miller.
Oh.
He has had a tough time adjusting to devil speed.
Very rough. I mean, it was apparent. I went to the game, the first Islanders game in preseason, the 6-5 special against Sorokin.
Awesome.
It wasn't. Like, the five allowed wasn't awesome for Schmid some of those plays.
It was a fun game.
Yeah, like, watching Ilias, it's one of those games where they announce before the game, you know, oh, the goalie's going to play the whole game, and then Sorokin gets pulled because he gave up five goals. And then Ken Appleby gets to be the goalie with the loss on his record, and you go,
Ken Appleby.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Jesper Bratt torched him for the hat trick. Anyhow, Colin Miller had a terrible turnover that led to one of the Islanders' first goals, and his performance alongside Hughes was so bad that we saw a Luke Hughes, Simo Nemec pairing in the second, and that kept going all the way to the end of the game. It's not a good sign if you're the veteran and you're expected to be the responsible veteran solid hand, because that's Colin Miller's game, Dan. Like, his game is, I am a solid defender. I am a meat and potatoes type of guy. I'm a rice and beans type of guy. I am standard. I am common in your home, but appreciate that I am there. I am reliable, if nothing else. But boy, did Colin Miller look like he's like a half step behind everyone else on the Devils.
Yeah,
and that's not a good thing, considering he is, you know, 30 years old. He signed for this season at $1.85 million. It's not a question of if he's going to make the team, Dan, but it is now an open question of, is he your number six defenseman? That conversation has opened up dramatically thanks to this preseason, because Colin Miller did not lock it down. And now we're sitting here talking about, is Colin Miller going to be your third pairing defenseman, possibly next to Luke Hughes? Is it going to be Brendan Smith, who the coaches clearly like, despite his very apparent penalty issues and other flaws that led to Kevin Ball taking his spot last season? Is it going to go to Simo Nemec, or do we surprise everybody and pick Santeri Hataka?
Yep, you're exactly right. I mean, Miller's play is the exact reason we started by talking about those defensive prospects. It's the exact reason that it's been such a breath of fresh air to see Kevin Ball succeeding to the degree that he has. And so it's not a welcome conversation, but I think it's still a good problem to have, that when you make that kind of signing, you do make it sometimes to fill a gap, but here it's legitimately for competition to make the team. And so it all remains to be seen what they do at that spot. It's still likely Miller's given the contract situations, but it's not as set in stone as it would have been if he had been his, you know, robust defensive self.
I will say that Miller is a right-handed or rather a right-sided defenseman that might help his case. And it might be bad news for Mr. Nemec, who is also a right-sided defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is definitely going to be a question of, you know, how do you envision the pairing? So that may be another factor in terms of, you know, Miller getting some regular minutes. I do want to believe that Miller just needs time to adjust, but that's exactly what this preseason is for. He got four games. He got nearly 50 minutes of the system. You know, if you didn't get it now, you better get it soon, because the real games are starting literally in less than a week.
And now he's also well aware, you know, as we are, that people are breathing down his neck competition-wise.
Exactly. I mean, it wasn't an accident that Brendan Smith not only played in the final game, but he did okay. You know, again, that he took a dumb penalty. And of course, you know, Brendan Smith statistically is, like, you know, a one-sided defenseman, and he's not particularly great at that one side. Again, Kevin Ball took his job during last season. But the coaches like him. He still signed for this season. He can play both sides of the pairing. So, you know, it's now a debate.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's move to the forwards. And interestingly enough, again, the Devils have what is arguably the best top nine in the entire league. And so the competition was always going to be for the spots 10 through 12. And so we already talked about the young players who were, you know, competing for that place. But let's talk about someone like Thomas Noshek.
Oh, this guy, similar to Colin Miller.
Mm-hmm.
he just struggled. Like in that Islanders game, like the man had hands of stone. Like he was like losing pucks off of what appear to be simple passes. And keep in mind, Noshik played a lot in this preseason. He was like Tyce Thompson and Michael McLeod, somebody who got five games. And while ultimately statistically, you know, he came out even, he wasn't a complete drag on the play, but he definitely was the weaker link when you saw him next to McLeod and Bastion in that Islanders game. And more importantly, Dan, Curtis Lazar. I know you didn't bring him up yet, but we have to talk about Noshik in the context of Curtis Lazar.
Well, we can roll right into him when you're,
the point
contextually.
Yeah, the thing is, Lazar is signed for another year, too, whereas Noshek is only signed for this year. Noshek also plays on the left. Lazar can play on the right. But Lazar had a way better preseason than Noshek. Lazar played like I expected Noshek to play, to be a hardworking, similar to Colin Miller, a meat and potatoes, rice and beans, standard. I'm not going to wow you. I'm not going to be flashy. I'm not going to make your taste buds explode, but I'm a reliable side to make your meal good. That is what Lazar did in preseason. He worked his tail off. He competed. He got some points. He did well in special team situations when called upon, even if it fit him very poorly, like that one time he had to be on a power play. But no, Lazar did what I expected Noshek to also do, except Noshek didn't do that. Instead, he just fumbled pucks and was just, again, kind of a half a step slow behind everyone else. So similar to Miller, my comments are the same. Noshek is going to be on the team in some sense, but what I would have thought was going to make him a regular immediately is now an open conversation.
And good for Curtis Lazar. I mean, he seems like he was brought in to be more a locker room guy, veteran presence.
Yeah.
First man in the league to play with all of the Hughes brothers. But I, you know, when he came over, he had issues getting his stuff, his family over. There was some visa stuff going on, and he got injured almost immediately upon arriving as a New Jersey Devil. So to see him perform the way he has, to see him be this motivated, I think it would be just so good for them to have him on a daily basis in the locker room. And I think he's definitely, you know, played his way onto that fourth line.
Yeah, exactly. And this has actually been one of the other minor storylines in preseason, where Bastion was coming off of a shoulder issue. So he didn't initially start in preseason games. He did eventually play preseason games. He played last night. Trying to see exactly. Yeah, he played in two games. He played in the other Islanders game. Both those games were physical too. So, you know, it's Bastion definitely got to test that shoulder quite a bit. But if Bastion is going to have issues or Bastion struggles because, you know, he's a fourth liner, Curtis Lazar is right there to take, you know, to step right in. So, you know, Bastion has to look over his shoulder a little bit because there's a 28-year-old, you know, former, I want to say, world junior hero, or am I confusing him with another player?
Of Canada's, I have no idea.
WJC history. Curtis Lazar was a WJC hero, I want to say. Oh, yeah, he did. In 2014, 2015, he had 5 goals and 9 points in 7 games.
Clearly, I'll remember it well.
Well, he also had 7 points at his first time to the WJCs too. This impressed him in the eyes of the Ottawa Senators at the time, who initially drafted him. Anywho,
I think I know him best from my NHL 14 GM campaign.
Yeah, you probably do. He probably was like hyped up back in the day, be like, "Oh, look out for this guy."
Yeah,
you know, he's a former first rounder, but then again, so is Nathan Bastion. The point is that Lazar has created competition for Bastion, of which there wasn't much of last season.
And it's a good problem to have. Again, it's good to have options down there. It's good to have players that serve different roles, different purposes. And again, that veteran presence, I think it's maybe overstated in some people, but Lazar just seems like a good guy. He just seems like someone who is genuinely so excited about his opportunity with the Devils, and he's making the most of it in this preseason.
Exactly. He's what I'd like to call, he's a fourth liner. You can find fourth liners anywhere, but you can find a decent fourth liner and you'll be pretty happy. Again, meat and potatoes, rice and beans, not going to make your meal fantastic, but you're happy it's there.
Good garnish. Okay. Well, so I think that kind of brings us to the end, because you already talked about Nate Bastion. Of the players that are more fringe lineup decisions, I would say between Bash and Lazar, it's like who's going to play each night rather than who's going to make the roster.
Yes.
It's, again, good problems to have. The depth seems to be exceptional within camp this year, it's legitimately tough to make some of these decisions. So I'm excited about it. I'm excited about what could happen. I'm excited about the fact that, you know, knock on wood, someone gets hurt, there's people that are more than appropriate to fill the gaps. They won't fall too far behind.
I do want to bring up one other player. He's not quite a veteran because he's only played 50 NHL games, but he's been kicking around in pro hockey for the last 4 years. He was the one PTO player for the Devils, Max Willman.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk about him because his situation is unfortunately awkward. So a bit of background on Mr. Willman. He went to Brown, suffered a really bad knee injury as a senior, got the okay from the NCAA for another season of eligibility and transferred as a graduate to Boston University. Didn't get signed by the team who drafted him. Philadelphia signed, actually he signed with the AHL, Lehigh Valley. I won't call him Lehigh, but Lehigh Valley Phantoms. Worked his way up from Reading of the ECHL to make Lehigh Valley. Made it eventually to get some NHL games with Philly. Came into New Jersey on a PTO. I will say that Willman played decently in his roles. He actually did well against the Islanders last night. He actually scored the first goal. He played with some good energy. I'm going to be frank, though. The Utica Commons have too many veterans right now. Like all those signings this summer of Chris Tierney, who's definitely not making the team. Justin Dowling, who's not making the team. Shane Bauer, they traded for Shane Bowers. He's not making the team. Kyle Chrysokolo already got demoted to Utica already. This is already a team that re-signed Tyler Weatherspoon. They signed Cal Foote, who was also demoted. And in the AHL, you're limited to how many professional veterans that you have. And I think the Utica Comets are actually over the limit right now. So I feel bad for a guy like Willman, who did a decent job to at least earn a two-way contract to be an emergency winger call-up. And he could hang out and strengthen Utica further. But because of that veteran rule, Dan, I don't know if he'll actually get it because, you know, if you're going to sign him to a contract, Dan, it implies that you want him to play. And he may not be able to, given the roster situation in Utica. Again, it's not the worst problem to have, but I feel bad for the guy, basically.
Well, he's with the main club later than any of those other guys you mentioned. You know, it's like there is something to that, and so maybe they can find a way to make it work. But yeah, you're right, it's kind of a bummer that that's what the situation is, but again, good problem to have. Depth is good.
I mean, I could be wrong. They could just say we're going to sign him and move someone else. AHL trades absolutely do happen. Other guys get moved on for various reasons. So the Devils, whether that's Dan McKinnon, who oversees Utica, or Tom Fitzgerald, says, look, I want this guy in our organization. We're going to just figure it out. And you have some time to figure it out, because I don't know exactly what day you have to get down to 23 men. That's your active roster maximum. I want to say that's going to be Monday, because the regular season starts on Tuesday for the NHL. But yeah, Mr. Fitzgerald and Mr. Ruff and all the decision makers at the Devils, as well as the Comets, because they're going through their camp right now as well. They've got some tough decisions to make this weekend. As much as we're just waiting for games to begin, their jobs are definitely in full effect.
Yep. And so just one last kind of area to talk about is the veterans who really impressed this camp. The ones who, you know, we had certain expectations for going in, and maybe the ones who disappointed as well. Although, to be honest, among the veterans, there were very few disappointing players. The new guys meshed pretty well. The old guys, the chem was strong. And as a chem teacher, that line made me very happy. And, you know, not much disappointment happening there. So who really impressed? Who stood out among the players that we know will be in the starting lineup?
Well, when you lead the league in preseason scoring, I think you've impressed. Jesper Bratt put up 9 points. Your top three, well, is actually a fivesome. It's Bratt, Jack Hughes, and then a three-way tie between Connor McDavid with 7 points in four games, the mighty Matt Coronato of Calgary, who had 7 points in six games, and future stud, and I don't say that lightly, Dad. I think he actually is going to be a really good player for them, which is unfortunate because he's in the East. Zach Benson of Buffalo, who has been a star for them. But seriously, Bratt has been cooking in this preseason, along with Jack Hughes. His line, along with Tyler Toffoli, the aforementioned veteran who has fit in like a glove, they pretty much carried the Devils to that 6-5 win.
Mm-hmm.
Let me quickly check my math here because I want to be right, Dan. You know, we got to be right on this show.
We got to be right. We've never once been wrong, John. You okay. Understand.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of the 6 goals in the 6-5 winner of the Islanders came from the one of those three men of that
awesome.
Line.
That's so yeah. Awesome.
And the one that didn't came from the other veteran that was also really impressive in preseason, John Marino. He had a 3.9 in that Islanders game. He was a stud in the games that he played. Looked like a boss out there on defense, mm-hmm. which is exactly what you would like to see from John Marino. And related to that, Dan, I think maybe the most impressive defenseman was Kevin Ball, who, mm-hmm. similar to Alexander Holtz, looks a lot faster, looks better on the puck. He definitely does not look like the one-way defensive defenseman I thought he would be. He was definitely asked in some of these games to play more offensively, but he provided. He created great plays. He scored a goal. He has definitely been able to help the Devils transition and play that fast style of hockey that they want to do. He's activated smartly. Kevin Ball looked like he's having a glow up, which is great for him because, you know, he's on that bridge deal, Dan. He's 23. Yep. You know, I know his contract ends in 2025, but for a guy like him, I'm sure his agent is telling him, hey, Kevin, if you want to step it up, you will become a very rich man if you start stepping it up right now.
Yeah.
Now it's a point where you ask the question, all right, we know Dougie Hamilton and Jonas Siegenthaler is your first pairing. Do you go with a John Marino, Kevin Ball second pairing, which has some precedence? Because remember, last season it was Marino and Graves.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Luke Hughes and one of Colin Miller, Brendan Smith, or Simo Nemec as your third pairing. Dan, I would suggest that's a very good blue line.
That's pretty good. That's exactly how you kind of laid it out. And Ball really justifying being part of the future plans that, again, as mentioned before, let Severson and Graves walk as comfortably as they were allowed to. And so it's great. It's a great, great thing that he has elevated his game. His vision's been excellent. He's been whipping the puck around. Very, very satisfying to watch him work. And so I'm thrilled. This is, again, we talked about the Taylor Hall deal. That yielded Dawson Mercer, Kevin Ball, and then the pick that would be used on a player that was in the Timo Meier deal. And so,
yep, turns out my lament about that trade has looked terrible, and I'm happy for it, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, that is value. That is how you parlay an MVP into future success. Credits to Tommy Fitz. I mean, he's figured something out.
Ray Sherrow.
Oh, Ray Sherrow made the trade. Yeah, okay.
That was part of the reason why I was unhappy about it, because he made that trade and then a month later he was fired, which begs the question, why would you let him make that trade?
Well, but then also, you know, Fitz doing what he did with the results of that.
This trade is true. Yes, that's part of the reason why the Sherrow era had to end. Sometimes in life you get some bad breaks. You got to make the most of it.
Yeah,
and you know, as much as we were critical this time last year of Fitzgerald, Lindy Ruff, you know, the team was coming off an absolutely terrible season. You know, not only was it just a case of some guys just having fantastic blooming seasons like Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier, but you know, Fitzgerald and Ruff, you know, stuck to their system. They found players to play within that system. And now not only do they have an identity, but they have a successful one at that. And even in this preseason, we're seeing that other teams are still struggling with that, regardless if they're putting out NHL lineups against B teams, like the last game with the Islanders and the Devils. We saw it when the Devils, you know, pretty much put away our hated rivals this past Thursday night. We even saw it, even if it went badly the other way many times in the 6-5 game. Like, we've seen other teams just struggle when the Devils just get going forward. And if you're a New York team, you're just liable to quit it sometimes, because, Dan, there's a lot of quit in New York outside of Buffalo, apparently.
Oh, man, you just love that slogan, don't you?
Oh, I'm going to get a lot of mileage out of that, Dan. Now, Dan, I want to add another person of impression, I would mm-hmm. say, as a veteran, because I do think he deserves the credit. It's been a little up and down for him, but I think it's warranted. Kira Schmid, because there's a lot of discussion in this offseason from the people who matter and outside about goaltending. Can the Devils get it done with Vitek Vanacek and Akira Schmid? Did Schmid have a good game in the first one against the Islanders? Absolutely not. No. Against the Islanders, against a full NHL lineup on the road, against a team that had, you know, that did get its opportunities, got some breakaways, broke the Devils down a couple times. Akira Schmid was fantastic.
Yeah.
He made big stops. He didn't have to go crazy and make things that you would make moves that make you go, oh my goodness, I hope his hamstring's okay. He positioned himself quite well. He was calm could be. He has fully earned and ended a lot of doubt in this preseason of whether or not he's an NHL goaltender. He is an NHL goaltender. I'd like to think the playoffs alone solidified that, but any question about that, I think was fully answered. The goaltending is fine, especially if the Devils are going to go out there and score a heap of goals every night, which they're in position to do once again.
I mean, it looked like at certain points they were just scoring at will. I know it seems cliched, but it looked like as the play was developing, I was like, oh, this is a goal. And I've never had that feeling before with this team. And so it's very exciting to be looking forward to that kind of offense. And so we can look forward to that starting next week as the Devils open their season. As John mentioned, there's a lot more home games than road games. So go out there, show your support to New Jersey's team for what should be, or what we hope to be certainly, is a very, very successful and fun season as usual. And it kind of, I hope for the sake of the area that it is, because all the excitement that people had for other teams that were, you know, the locals to start their seasons has evaporated.
Well, it depends on the sport.
Well, yeah, I guess so. If you're a fan of the WNBA, your Liberty are in the finals. And you know what? They've been great.
Yeah. The Liberty have been great. Rutgers football has started at 4-1 and, you know, could make a bowl for the first time in quite some time. The basketball team at Rutgers is looking primed. Other Rutgers, what we call the Olympic sports, they're doing quite well in. But yeah, if you're a fan of the NFL, you're sad.
MLB.
You're a fan of MLB, you're sad. If you're a fan of the Knicks, you're perpetually sad. If you're a fan of the Nets, you're just wondering where it all went wrong. If you're a Red Bulls,
Where it all went wrong. Yeah, James Harden,
Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
Anyway. if you're a Red Bulls fan, the vibes this season for the Red Bulls has been terrible, and the team may miss the playoffs for the first time in over a decade, which is pretty rough considering that it's MLS, and you know, making the playoffs is not the most difficult thing to do in the world if your team is halfway decent and the Red Bulls just can't score goals.
This is all to say that the area needs a win, and hopefully the Devils provide it more than the other two teams. Although, again, it looks like the other two teams are also poised to be, you know, either cup contenders or playoff contenders as well. So I hope, you know, it's way more fun when the locals are better. It's way more fun when more people want to go to games and more people are wearing the gear around the city. So I'm looking forward to things getting started. And we finally... John, we can finally say yes to the question, is it October yet? Because yes, it is October yet. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait.
So let me run down for you what you got coming up next for the first time. We got some games of value, games that count. It opens on ESPN Plus Hulu only at 7:30 against the Detroit Red Wings on the 12th. So that you do have to wait we're recording this on the 7th, so you do have to wait another 4 days before that. But, you know, it's not like the Islanders where their first game is on the 14th. Like, they have to wait a full week. They get to stew on that loss, which is not fun. Anyway, right after the Red Wings, the Devils will play Arizona on the 13th, MSGSN. That'll be Bill Spalding's first game. And thanks to a Bally's buyout deal, it's going to be locally in Arizona on something called Scripps.
Okay.
I've never heard of it.
They're famous for spelling bees, John.
Sure. Great, grand. After that back-to-back, the Devils will have a weekend off, and then they'll play Florida, thankfully, at 7 p.m. On MSGSN. I guess that's going to be your first real measuring stick game, since Florida went all the way to the finals last season and picked up the silver medal in the Stanley Cup that doesn't exist. And then the Devils will go back to Belmont on the 20th. And then you will get another three games in four nights, where you get that weird 7:15 start in Montreal on the 24th. And then the next night you get your first game on TNT with the Capitals against Putin's favorite player and the rest of his squad at 7:30. You get Buffalo with Zach Benson and a whole lot of potential scoring output that's going to make him frightening as a wild card contender on the 27th. And then October ends with a pre-mischief night, or rather a pre-Halloween night, whatever you want to call it, a 5 p.m. special against Minnesota. That's, you know, out of that rundown, Dan, two of those games are on the road.
Well, I did not expect to go through the entire month.
It's only like eight games, Dan.
Just considering, I know we'll have episodes in between, but yeah, that's.
I'm excited for the season, Dan.
Well, I don't blame you. Certainly, it's going to be.
And if you can't get tickets for home opening night, you got what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other opportunities I just mentioned for you. There's probably going to be great seats available for the Arizona game.
Make a night of it. Spend your money.
Give the Devils and their new food options some money.
Yeah,
have new food options.
They don't pay us to say this, but we're just excited. But anyway, we're excited to be talking to all of you again as the season goes on. We're back to more regular uploads because we finally have things to talk about. So thank you all, as usual, for joining us. And let's go, Devils.
Go, Devils.
See you next time.